How can you prevent if the restrictions are given to the site? Are they not something happening again tomorrow?
It's not just Greece. Things are not very good in Italy, or in Spain, or in Portugal, or in Ireland for that matter. Indeed, they're not very good in Eastern Germany. The Euro architecture was never designed to sustain the shockwave of 2008. How do you prevent it? Well, simple logic has to prevail. What was the matter with the Eurozone? What were the three things? Firstly, we didn't have a way of managing public debt. We've been done. We should create one. Not necessarily by Eurobonds. I'm not supporting the Eurobonds. We don't have the time to go into a detailed discussion of what could happen. Second thing is we need a banking union. If the United States of America in 2008, the good state of Nevada had to bail out the banks domiciled in Nevada using money borrowed in the international money markets, both the banks and the state of Nevada would have gone under, and then have created the domino effect that would have reached California. Okay? So they had the FDIC, they had the Fed. This is what we needed to do, a banking union. What did we do? We created a banking union in name, but not in, so as not to have it in practice. We should change that. There has to be, you mentioned imbalances. We have a major problem of imbalances in the European Union. The moment the euro crisis starts recovering, they will come back because we have done nothing in order to create what I call a self-society mechanism in the eurozone. These are the things that we could deal with quite efficiently. There are ways, without federation, without creating a federal miniature finance, without having the Germans paying for everybody else's debts or guaranteeing everybody else's investments. There are efficient macro-financial ways of doing it. It's just that Europe has not even begun the debate on having it.
Doesn't the banking union involve the Germans guaranteeing everybody else's?
Mm. Well, let me put it very, let me give you an example of how it could have been done without us. Okay? The Greek banks last year received something 40, 50 billion worth of money borrowed by the Greek taxpayer from the European taxpayer. This was not enough and not going to blame the banking sector. But nevertheless, it was part of the banking sector of Greece. Okay. Now, if the European Central Bank does a quality assurance stress test and finds out the truth about the Greek banks, they would need more money. If instead of having done that, the Greek banks that became insolvent were recapitalized directly by the ESM. The ECB appointed a new board of directors with a view to cleansing the books within a year and then selling them to whoever wants them. And I would also stipulate that the new board of directors should not include Greeks, but that you can't call them enough. Okay? And so those banks would become Europeanized. And that would be a step-by-step banking union where the banks that need capital from you because the member state cannot afford it and you don't trust the politicians of the member state because of their very close relationship with bankers to do it properly, you Europeanize those banks. You don't Europeanize 6,000 banks, but the ones that need capital get steadily, step-by-step Europeanized. And then eventually you have a banking union when Europe is ready for it.
I'm just thinking to like, as a central bank, you have reserves. Do you hold the debt of peripheral European countries? Is that how much Greek debt in the Turkish central bank reserves?
Well, like many central banks, we have our own procedures trying to identify the eligible bonds and instruments that you can use as reserves. I think I'm not going to say anything about it, but you know, the distinct rules we have on that, you know, AAA bonds.
Yeah, AAA bonds, so maybe not Greek. But Greek, somebody's been buying Greek bonds, and they've yields come down a lot. Another question, yes, at the front here.
My name is Pyre, I'm a farmer. I'm a company in the question. What should the UK be doing about it?
So maybe that's one, that's a win.
What should the UK
do to help the EU?
run away from
Europe? I think we should not run away from Europe. I happen to think that, and it was mentioned also by Sharon, we have a great deal to give to Europe, and we have a great deal to benefit from Europe, for example, in services. Probably the United Kingdom is, well, not probably, it is, it has the highest proportion of its GDP in services, not just financial services, but also professional services, law, etc., etc. This is something that's important. London is, in fact, the European financial centre. It's a global financial centre, but it's a European financial centre. And I think some of the aspects which aren't necessarily German, but in terms of discipline and so on, ultimately, as a former banker, you cannot, in fact, get yourself into a position where only by cost cutting you have to grow. But the second, and banks know this, and very often banks actually reduce the debt by writing off some of it in order for the company basically to grow again. How we're going to do this, I just don't know. How the German voter is going to be bamboozled into it, I think the German voter will be very will be understanding. He's not that stupid that there is in fact a burden that Germany will have to bear. But so discipline on the one hand, but also doing something sensible in relation to the debts. Because if the debts, we know with zombie companies don't survive. Companies survive when you in fact get the debt structure back into some kind of normality, so that not all the revenues are eaten up by interest payments and debt repayments. Many, many examples where banks have actually ultimately benefited by giving some more leeway to the companies that they've supported.
And we'll be sending lots of UKIP MEPs, and one will sort of be very grateful. Good for the bars of Brussels. Is there one more last question before lunch, I think?
I have a question actually. To reduce the debt, there are always two ways. One way is to follow austerity, another way is to raise the taxes, and the third way is to contribute or anything like that. So what do you think about the quantity of these? Why is it we didn't not more promote it more to this to bring to even the life of a lot of people?
QE with the EU. Solved all our problems.
Well, firstly, austerity doesn't work when a company uses debt. It has increased debt in the sense of what they're creating. It hasn't decreased it because the only way to get out of a debt situation is to grow. And austerity doesn't do that. Does QE create growth? QE is a little bit like cortisone. It has its uses, but it does not cure cancer. So it creates, it may, you know, by inflating some bubbles, you can create a semblance of normality, which may be important. So the fact that the United States is where it is today is a very good thing. Has it recovered? No, it hasn't. Has the labor market, has investment picked up in the way that it ought to have at this stage of the cycle? The answer is no. Has QE helped? Yes, it helped. But it is not going to solve the problem. And in Europe, the problem is that when administering neither cortisone nor chemotherapy. So we are allowing the patient to be in incredible pain without treating the tumor. Sorry for the medicals, but we have to say that.
Yes.
To be succinct.
It's a type of work. And by boosting financial markets, which are owned by the rich, it has probably added to inequality in the US.
Most certainly. But at the same time, you would rather be in a situation like the United States, like
yes.
The European Union.
True. Yes. But,
QE is I think, it's an element of priming the pump. I don't think it's a permanent thing. Some of the other aspects have to be associated with QE. By itself, QE is not, in fact, the answer. But priming the pump, as I would call it, is it can actually be very useful.